Thank you very much. I will try to be fast so that we can all enjoy the Capiranias very soon. I would like to thank the organizers for this panel, and I would like in particular to thank them for inviting us, the World Bank Group, to be here today. I would also like to start by expressing our deep appreciation to the countries that are represented on this panel, but also to all the other countries in the room that are making such an effort to welcome Venezuelans. I have just a few remarks, but let me start by saying that as when you look at all the refugee crisis or all the forced displacement crisis in the world, it is difficult not to be struck by the extent of the generosity of the countries that are represented at this table. And that, frankly, has very few parallels in other parts of the world. About 18 months ago, I was with Felipe Munoz on the famous bridge in Cúcuta. And I saw not only the extreme misery that our Peruvian colleague, I apologize, was referring to, but also I heard the loudspeakers repeating again and again a message saying, "Amigos Venezuelanos." And I was just wondering how many countries welcome refugees with the word amigos. So I'm just very pleased to see today that this tradition of hospitality is going on. Today we heard words such as regularization, integration, relocation to places where they can get jobs, positive aspects of migration, inclusion in our national health system. All words that we would like to hear all over the world. And what I found impressive is that this is also translating into concrete steps. We heard about the very practical steps that all of these countries are taking from a logistical perspective, from an administrative perspective, from a data collection, data sharing perspective. But we also know that a large number of these countries provide access to services, to the labor market, essentially to what it takes for refugees to be able to rebuild their lives. And I just would like to finally emphasize that this is taking place in a very difficult context, where, as we all know, some of these countries are facing economic challenges of their own. Some of these countries are facing social challenges and important social challenges of their own. So just we really wanted, on behalf maybe of the World Bank Group, but maybe also of others in the room, to express our deep appreciation for this generosity. And yet, the impact is very real. The numbers of 4.8 million say a lot. But that translates into very significant pressure on institutions, on services, on education, on health, as we have seen. That also translates into fiscal costs for the government. That translates into pressures in some segments of the labor market, particularly in the informal market or for people with low skills. And these pressures are sometimes even stronger because the migrants and the refugees are actually concentrated into a few places, in Bogota and the border areas in Colombia, in Quito, Guayaquil, and Manta, in Ecuador, in Lima and Callao, in Peru, which I think raises a question not only about how can we help refugees and migrants, but also how can we support the hosting regions and the hosting communities. The impact is also partially significant because, as many have said before, this crisis is lasting. This crisis, unfortunately, may still grow. And for a lot of countries, there's a recognition that there's a need to shift from a short-term response to really trying to manage these new migratory flows in the medium term. So that's obviously a point to the need for support, the need for external support. Humanitarian support, that I think, as we saw on some of the slides, will probably remain necessary for some time, but also development support, support to policies, support to institutions, and support to making it possible for the countries to maintain their very generous stance. As I said, also support for the hosting region and the hosting communities, all behind the vision that has been articulated by the countries at the table. I just would like to repeat that the World Bank Group is obviously committed to play its full role in this endeavor, even if our instruments are somewhat constrained in the context of middle-income countries. So we've worked with Colombia, Ecuador, now Peru, on impact assessments and on trying to see how countries can best respond in the medium term to the challenges posed by these very, very large flows. We've tried to, or we are mobilizing technical assistance to try to translate or help translate some of the recommendations into reality. We have also this fund called the Global Concessional Financing Facility, GCFF, which essentially is providing grant money to improve the terms of our financing. And we've been using this in Colombia, for example, for a budget support operation, and now for a health operation that is under preparation. Ecuador has recently becoming eligible for this facility too. We are also working closely with the Grupo de Quito, in particular because we believe that the regional approach that the continent has taken is indeed key to success. And I also would like to recognize my colleague here from the Inter-American Development Bank to really emphasize that while I may be the one here at the table today, this represents a much broader effort by multilateral development banks. So maybe I would like to stop here and really thank once again